Welcome in to Texans on Tap. I'm Brandon Strange with Charlie Polillo and Josh Jordan. Read their work on sportsmap.com and follow them on X at Polillo and at Josh Jordan 975. Sunday, we saw the sixth matchup between Houston and Minnesota. We, like Vegas, thought this was going to be a close game. No such luck. No Mixon, no Pierce, no idea of the snap count, no idea where the line of scrimmage was at or where Justin Jefferson was. Spoiler, he was the one that was open the entire first half. The opening possession of the game really kind of set the tone for both teams, holding penalty followed by an interception off a tipped pass. Seven offensive penalties in that first half, and believe it or not, it could have been worse. So I guess we'll start with the defense here. Considering what a point of emphasis Justin Jefferson had to be in their preparation, were you surprised to see how soft Houston's defense was in that coverage, especially in that first half?
Well, soft in the sense that one specific play on a third and seven and Stingley's lined up 8 yards off in coverage, that's just dumb. But Justin Jefferson beats everybody, right? If he's not the best wide receiver in the NFL, he's in the top two or three. So he makes plays, right? Teams, he's the number one emphasis in the defensive game plan. He's great. And Sam Darnold continues to look very legit 3 games in. But overall for the Texans, it was a complete team effort. It was an utter abomination. You know, without context, statistics, lies, damn lies, and statistics. Mark Twain or somebody said that. Right? The Texans actually wound up with more total yards because of the garbage time Davis Mills drive at the end of the game. They eked out a lead in time of possession. None of that matters. The Texans defense yielded 4 touchdown passes to Sam Darnold. Aaron Jones was kind of plodding through 2.5 quarters. Got too many gash runs right through the teeth of the Texans defense. And then the big burst play. I mean, the game was essentially over before that. But if there was any flicker of doubt, Aaron Jones, 39 yards to the 1-yard line, snuffed that out. We want to highlight a couple of particularly guilty parties. Christian Harris can't get back soon enough. Henry Toto's a fill-in level, a linebacker. Took a terrible angle on the long Jones run. Was also beaten in coverage a couple of times. Danielle Hunter's return to Minnesota was not exactly a return of the conquering hero. John Grenard played rings around him, obviously not head-to-head on the football field, but the Vikings won that de facto trade overwhelmingly in the game. And the Vikings just look like a very good team, right? The Texans are on the rise. They're not a finished product. They're going to have games like this. See at the Jets last season with C.J. Stroud till he was knocked loopy in the fourth quarter where the offense could do absolutely nothing. The Ravens playoff game last year where the offense could do absolutely nothing. And that was the ugly Texans offensive head that reared its head against the Vikings. The defense was better than the offense, which is the essence of damning with faint praise.
We talked last week, or that was in the preview show we did, about how the 49ers, they would have been blown out last week against the Vikings if it wasn't for some incredible plays from their linebacker, Fred Warner. Texans don't have Fred Warner, so they ended up getting blown out. And it makes sense. They said during the broadcast that the Flores built a defense to try and counter the Shanahan-type scheme. That was his goal in Minnesota. It looks like he's accomplished his goal after what he did to San Fran last week, what he did to the Texans this week. So I was surprised Justin Jefferson didn't kind of get the star treatment early in the game, you know, press him or put, you know, Lassiter on him, press him, and then have a safety on top of him, or do the opposite, put Stingley on him and have him follow him all over the field. They didn't do that on that first touchdown to Jefferson. It was Eric Murray that was on him, and Murray just fell down. That's why Justin Jefferson was just alone in the end zone and caught the ball. So yeah, I didn't like the game plan there at all on defense and just missed opportunities. There were so many almost sacks where they had hands on Sam Darnold and they just couldn't get him to the ground. And we kind of saw that in the Bears game last week with Williams. He just kept kind of slipping away from the pass rushers. So yeah, defense, they're right around him. They just got to find a way to get these quarterbacks on the ground. So at least the good news is the Vikings look legit. So I don't think you should be, you know, ashamed of how it went today. You're not happy with it, but it does look like a good team, and Texans just gotta learn from this, come back, play better next week.
The summary defensively is if you give up a 100-yard rusher and 4 touchdown passes, you got your asses kicked. And that's what happened to the Texans in this game. Asterisk somewhat the first drive was a short drive. C.J. Stroud, actually not a terrible interception. Every once in a while, a defender will throw a hand up there. It's not like C.J. throws from a low arm slot and is always getting balls batted in the air. The second interception was a terrible throw way behind Nico Collins. So if the defense gets worked, C.J. Stroud has a bad day. You have no rushing attack. Right? Cam Akers was not running against guys who were going to get cut in the preseason. The Vikings pretty much snuff filmed him in the game. I mean, a J.J. Taylor sighting in the backfield. So it was just one of those days. But boy, that was really one of those days for the Texans. That looked like a David Culley coached football team.
Yeah, it did look like a flashback of seasons past for Texans. On offense, Stroud and Houston were rattled by that vaunted Minnesota defense. Considering they had a week to prep to see what Minnesota did against the 49ers, were you surprised that Bobby Sloak's offense was just so overmatched? I mean, again, they are a very good team, credit where it's due, but it just seemed like Houston was ill-prepared for what Minnesota was going to bring.
The offensive line is not in very good shape. You know, they had their five starters back with Juice Scruggs returning, Jared Patterson out. But let's get to the absolute two chief dunce caps I want to hit on off the top. Number one is Laremy Tunsil. Yeah. Enough already. I hope he considers this the most embarrassing day of his life since the Bond gas mask video surfaced on draft day. You know, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me, goes the saying. Fool me five times, six times. Am I a moron? I mean, how many false starts that you have to know the snap count, right? The old-fashioned false start, not the cheating early Laremy Tunsil patented move that sometimes they call. And then when we saw Baltimore-Kansas City, the opening Thursday game, point of emphasis this year, tackles cannot line up in the backfield. Your helmet has to be aligned with the center's backside. When they call it the first time on Laremy Tunsil, hey, wake-up call. When they call it the second time on Laremy Tunsil, hey, wake-up call. When they call it the third time on you, what the hell is the matter with you? Six dead ball penalties on Laremy Tunsil in the game, five of them enforced. That was an utterly unprofessional and inept performance. Leave aside that he makes $25 million per year and is overhyped by some as the best left tackle in the game. He's not. Bobby Slowick, I think at times gets a little overhyped as boy genius offensive coordinator just because of the branch of the tree that he is. But C.J. Stroud makes him look a lot smarter than perhaps he is. I'm not bagging on Slowick as a bad offensive coordinator, but man, did he have a bad game plan having a rookie tight end single. Are you aware, Bobby Slowick, that John Grenard was a 12 and a half sack guy for your team last year? Asking a rookie tight end to one-on-one block John Grenard was straight up imbecilic. And it cost him two sacks.
It's the Tunsil thing. Charlie hit on it. It drives you insane because he's also the guy that, oh, I don't really need to come to training camp. I don't really need to do anything in the preseason. I'm a Pro Bowler. I just kind of show up and, oh, I had some off-season injury, so that kind of gets me out of having to do anything in the preseason. I'd have his ass out there just doing, all right, snap count is this. Just have him go out there and just keep quizzing him on snap counts because clearly he can't figure that out. It's a huge problem for him. And it's not just a one-time thing. We'd shrug it off. No big deal. It's every week he does this BS, and it's not getting better. It's getting worse. You know, if I'm D'Amico, you got to talk to him. What the hell is going on? So, and that too, I don't want to take it all off of CJ and the offense and all the struggles in this game. But he's a huge reason when this game was actually winnable early on, he kept costing them penalties and setting the offense back and putting the defense back on the field and making them more tired. Almost every opportunity they had to get something going, here comes Tunsil again and wipes it off. So there was a few plays today, just so many, where CJ did get a big play down the field and then it gets wiped off by a penalty. So they got to figure this out. This offensive line is not as good as I think we are led to believe. And running the ball, the Colts game looks like an outlier. And we know now the Colts aren't good against the run. So this is going to be a live by CJ, die by CJ type of season, it feels like.
I would say offensive line that we hoped it would become more than thought that it was. Kenyon Green, totally unproven. Juice Scruggs, totally unproven. Tytus Howard, can he stay healthy and perform at right tackle? The second quarter, when it was 14-0 and going very poorly, but obviously you haven't been blown out of the stadium yet. You're driving in Minnesota's half of the field. You have a third down and four, very manageable. And while Tunsil was the head clown, there were big red noses for more than just him. Back-to-back-to-back plays? Tunsil, Kenyon Green, and Titus Howard with false starts. That was just pathetic. That was just falling apart, you know, choking emotionally under the circumstances. But it was the second quarter of the third game of the season. It wasn't a real high stakes moment where the crowd is going crazy, like say you're at Arrowhead Stadium in the playoffs or something like that. So it was just a brutal, brutal performance. I think the biggest takeaway is that C.J. Stroud gimpy a little bit after his last takedown in the fourth quarter, that his ankle is just fine.
What about leaving Tank in? It looks like he hurt his hand or his wrist on one of the last plays of the game. Yeah. I'm like, you're taking out C.J. because you're worried about him getting banged up. And then you're going to let Diggs and Nico get some garbage time yards. I mean, fantasy football managers are happy about it. But, you know, Tank's a guy that he's had issues staying healthy, and you have him out there in a meaningless game. Hopefully it's not a big deal. He's OK, but it just doesn't make sense. Protect your players. The game was over.
Yeah. And it's clear that while Joe Mixon is not an elite back, without him, the Texans will have no running game. Because what Mixon is a hard runner with what I think you can call body lean. Right? When he gets hit, he seems to always fall forward. The legs are always churning. Maybe he turns a one-yard gain into a two-and-a-half-yard play, a two-yard play into a three-, four-yard play. Akers is a little guy, best circumstances, right? He's your change of pace back, the scat-type guy. You know what Devin Singletary was at perhaps a little bit lower level. And while we have discussed that if you don't run the ball, they have the weaponry, that it should be a passing game, a first offense, you can't be all pass against teams that can really tee off in the pass rush, as the Vikings were able to do, and make C.J. Stroud very uncomfortable for most of the game.
Charlie, I want to get back to a sequence that you targeted. It was Houston's first drive of the second quarter, I believe, when it was false start, false start, false start, illegal formation, and actually a dropped interception in that sequence as well. One of the traits of this Texans team has been their poise under DeMeco Ryans and C.J. Stroud at the helm. But Sunday we saw dumb penalties, dropped passes, interceptions. One of those was a bad mistake by C.J. and a missed field goal by Fairbairn. Were you guys surprised at just how comprehensively the Texans imploded during this game, just not just from a performance standpoint, but from a decision-making standpoint?
Clunkers can happen, but I doubt the Chiefs are going to have a game where they lose 34-7 and look like the freshman squad trying to play the varsity, not even the JV. And back to that second quarter sequence where they get to a third and four, the three straight false starts, that came after, wow, what a creative play call on a third and 12. The lateral to Diggs, who throws the ball across to Ogunbowale for a first down, and you're thinking, all right, this can be a scoring drive. You're within 14-7 and game on. But it was an utter unraveling from that point forward. You know, it was just they look like a bad football team. It's not a bad football team, but it does heighten the stakes a little bit for the Jacksonville game next week, because obviously the Texans can no longer get to 4-0 and just completely leave the Jaguars dead and buried in the division race. Right, the Colts did scratch in the win column, holding on to beat the Bears team by 6 points, the same way the Texans beat them by 6 points. Right, the Texans barely beat the Colts. So that the Texans had arrived as some AFC South superpower, no, that would be more. The rest of the AFC South is just abysmal. So, you know, the Texans are 2-1, just a game ahead of the Colts. The Titans look like they're going to be the dreck of the division. But better not stumble next week at home against the Jaguars. Certainly, if you have high-end hopes to be in the race for a top two seed, say, in the AFC come late December.
Yeah, I noticed at halftime when they interviewed DeMeco, he was like, yeah, we can't let Justin Jefferson have free release and just be running all over our secondary. And through the broadcast, Charles Davis was saying, what are they doing? You got to at least throw off the timing. You can't just let Justin Jefferson run wherever you want. That guy's going to kill you. So you even have the national broadcaster going like, what are the Texans doing here? DeMeco addressed it at halftime. And then he talked about, you know, Tunsil's got to avoid those mistakes. I want to get back to Fairbairn for a second. Right before he missed that first field goal, they got a camera shot of him. And I saw his face and I was just like, this is not good. He's going to miss this kick. And he got so much praise heaped on him last week. You felt like it was just due to miss a big, and it was a longer field goal. So I'm not going to kill him for that, but I am going to hit on him. When they finally got that touchdown, it was 21-7. What does Fairbairn do? Kicks the damn ball out of bounds and gives the Vikings the ball at the 40-yard line. So it's just, the whole team, just whenever something could go wrong today, it went wrong. Offense, defense, special teams. It was coaching. They definitely, I tweeted out, looks like D'Amico got out coached just like the 49ers did last week. And I mean, that was a complete butt whipping. I don't know how you argue that.
Steven Sims, let's throw him in. Not a penalty, but a week ago was letting a ball bounce, costing the Texans 20 yards in field position. This time, fair catch. Oh, I'm going to field it on a bounce and decide to run. So, you know, if you're going to go down in flames, they made it the Towering Inferno.
They did. And I guess, you know, in fairness, on defense, Justin Jefferson's targets and touches were limited in the second half. But by that point, they had already, you know,
they didn't have to throw anymore.
Right, exactly.
Dropped two. And let me throw in, and we talked about this in the preview, that Stingley obviously is a wonderfully talented corner. And if he can stay healthy all season, maybe he can be a Pro Bowl corner. But you're not prime Deion Sanders yet. I mean, the football player, young people, not the head coach. You just put the shackles on Justin Jefferson, take him out of the game. So if he's matched up Jefferson with Kamari Lassiter, that's probably a specific problem where Lassiter's flat out lack of 4-4 speed. Because if you're going to play press coverage and you don't get a good chuck on that receiver and he gets a release off the line, Lassiter does not have that recovery speed to run with a guy like that, whether he's going up the sideline or running a deep cross. But again, Justin Jefferson is awesome and causes all kinds of problems for all kinds of defenses.
No MVPs on lost games, so I'll just give you guys final thoughts on the way out the door here.
I was going to nominate Tommy Townsend because there was nothing blatantly just, what are you doing about the punts that he launched in the game. Look, if this is the absolute worst game the Texans play all season, it's not so bad. It was awful as it happened, but I think we look back at just about all 32 teams, they'll have one game that say, well, is there much to learn from watching that film, or you just burn it? You know, in terms of what do you learn from this game, play a whole lot better. Laramie Tunsil will remove your head from your butt. Props to the Vikings. That looks like a real threat in the NFC. If Sam Darnold remains this version of Sam Darnold and in the Kevin O'Connell system and having Jefferson and Aaron Jones in that running game and two first-round picks and two second-round picks in that offensive line. And remember, the Texans got to play the Vikings without their number two wide receiver, Jordan Addison, without their Pro Bowl-level tight end, TJ Hockenson. And defensively, the Vikings were down two pass rushers in the game. The first-round pick, Dallas Turner, didn't even play. And is it Ivan? Pace starting defensive end. He didn't go either. So, you know, it's like the Texans, anyone is thinking, well, if we had Joe Mixon, it would have been a different game. No, it wouldn't.
I mean, I'll just look at maybe a couple positives. Tim Settle Jr. had a couple sacks in this game. Will Anderson had a sack. I have to say, you know, with all the talk about Danielle Hunter, he was very active. He had that roughing the passer call on Darnold where he hit him in the legs and almost had the sack there. He's around it, but early returns, I'm not seeing the sacks that I was kind of hoping for from Danielle Hunter just through three games this year. You see the talent, you see how yoked he is, and you know, it's just, but the production hasn't quite been there. You know, this is a, you know, game for him. He's playing his former team, and you know, I thought maybe he would have gotten a sack, but he didn't get one today. So that'll be something I'm looking for. Can those guys get going? Can the pass rush actually get to the quarterback, get him down to the ground? Because you know, and Petrie too had a few plays today that wasn't great. So I just think you burn this one and you move on. It was just, you know, it just snowballed on you.
Leave Grenard aside, Kamu Grugier-Hill made more impact games in this one than did Danielle Hunter. So what are you going to do?
Well, Josh, that goes back to your revenge game sort of mantra for this week. Just a lot of former players on each other's teams here. And just going back to that Texans pass rush, it just seems like against the elite O-lines, Texans can't get there with four players. When they get there, it's when they're bringing the house. And it seems like unless they do that, they are not getting home to the quarterback. So it's going to be something for D'Amico to figure out this season. And hopefully he does. Reset. You've got the Jags. You have a chance to create a new mindset starting in next week. We're going to do a preview of that game on Thursday. So keep an eye out for that. If you're an Astros fan, the three of us host our Astros podcast called Stone Cold Stros. We'll have a new episode available on Monday over on our other YouTube channel, Sports Map Houston. Hope to see you there. And until next time, go Texans.